Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Questions from the Audio Road. I'm your host, Kevin Rutherford, and I'll be taking your calls and answering your questions for the next hour or so. Lisa is here with us, screening calls and keeping things light and fun. If you want to join in, simply press 1 on your phone, and Lisa will be right with you. This is the show that puts the money where it belongs, back in your pocket. Sit back, relax, and listen, or jump in and ask your question. You can even bring us your opinion. It's up to you. This is your show. You can ask questions about fuel mileage, tires, engine, EGR, aerodynamics, truck specking, maintenance, taxes, financial planning, getting started as an owner-operator, or anything else about the business of trucking. Here we go. Let's head on down the audio road.
Hi, this is Lisa. Remember to talk to Kevin. Press 1 so I can pick up the phone and screen your call. You know you'd rather talk to me anyway. Or just sit back, relax, and listen to the show. And at any time you have a question, just hit 1 and I'll pick up the phone.
Welcome to Questions from the Audio Road, the Fair Tax Edition. I'm your host, Kevin Rutherford. Lisa's here screening your calls. If you're listening online and you'd like to join us live, pick up the phone and dial 347-884-8327. There's still some lines open, but they're filling up fast. Once you're on that call, press 1. Joe has returned, and we're going to continue talking about the fair tax, and we'll try to make room for other people to get in with questions and comments as well. So as not to take up a whole lot of time, we're just going to jump right back in it. Joe, welcome back.
Good evening.
Let me kind of wrap up where I think we were last time, and then I'll let you do the same, and if you want to start with something, we can. I think we were kind of at an impasse in that if you aren't willing to accept the economic reports, and they are assumptions, and I think that's what you're struggling with, but everything in economics almost has to be an assumption. There's no system we could change to that we wouldn't have to make assumptions, but I've read the economic reports by, I mean, there are at least 80 independent economists who believe in the fair tax and have outlined what they believe will happen, and yeah, some of it has to be assumptions. And I think last time we were kind of stuck on, if we can't move past that, it's hard to have a debate if we stick there. I have a feeling if we get into details, there are a ton of other things we could discuss, but if we're both stuck on that point, I'm not sure if we can move any farther. What do you think?
Well, I think you're absolutely right that I'm stuck on the assumption that prices will rise, and you're stuck on the assumption that prices will fall.
I think prices will stay the same. I don't think they'll fall. I think we have a net same price after we eliminate federal taxes, payroll taxes, self-employment taxes, capital gains taxes, gift or estate taxes, alternative minimum taxes, corporate taxes, taxes on Social Security and benefits. Yeah, I think prices will stay the same, not drop. I think a $100 item today will be a $100 item under the fair tax.
That's fair.
That's what I think. I don't think they're going to drop. I think when it all washes out, we end up paying the same for the product today. We're just collecting the tax in a different way.
Right. And what I meant by that was that the actual cost, pre-tax cost of the item, you're saying is going to fall. And once the tax is added, it will remain the same as the price is today.
Right.
Right. No, I got you.
And you don't believe that, correct? You believe a $100 item today will be $123 tomorrow because of the tax added on.
Yeah, it's if it's not going to be $123, it's certainly going to be, in my mind, above the $100 mark. It may not be a full $123 difference, but I believe there will be a significant increase in consumer goods, yes.
Now, there's some truth to that. There's two things that can happen, and most economists believe it's going to be a combination of the two. So the price is going to be somewhere in the middle. Or in certain industries, one thing will happen, and in other things, in other industries, the other will happen. But ultimately, we still wash out with the net being the same. That is, if prices go up, then that would be offset by the fact that you now take home your entire check.
Assuming that an employer is going to still pay that. And that, there again, was my assumption, is my problem with that point, is that I don't believe that they will continue to pay that. I believe that they will actually reduce your weekly pay.
By what amount?
It's hard to say. Until it actually gets implemented, or some, you know, if not the United States, in some country, until it actually gets implemented, it's impossible to say. And it would vary employer to employer, corporation to corporation. I'm sure that there will be many employers and many employees that will not see their compensation fall. But by the same token, I'm sure that there's going to be maybe an equal amount, maybe more, maybe less, that will see a fall in income based solely on the idea that, hey, you're not paying taxes anymore, therefore I don't have to pay you as much as I did previously.
In today's system, because we're talking about two things that will shift, and most economists believe that it's going to be a combination of both. Prices coming down because there are no more embedded taxes in there, and wages either staying the same, which means you take home more, or not dropping all the way down. So there's going to be a meeting in the middle somewhere, is what most economists believe. Under today's system, what determines price and wage?
The market does.
Competition, right?
Right, the market.
So if I'm an employer today, why don't I just say, screw it, I don't need to pay my people so much, I'll just cut their wages. Or why don't I just say, I'll just raise my prices?
They do it every day, Kevin. Look at YRC. So, I believe that they just had to agree to take a pay cut. Every day in America, there are companies, individual employers, that are telling people, hey, I can't afford to pay you at this current level. Look at the amount of trucking companies back in, starting in the fall of 2008, going into 2009, who reduced their wages for their drivers.
And why did they do that? Why did they do it?
Why did they do it?
Yeah.
Well, they
did
it because they were not making enough profit.
Exactly.
And then it becomes a choice of the employee. Do I stay here for less money, or do I look elsewhere?
So how does the fair tax change that? It'll still be the same way.
Exactly right. I'm not disputing that it will change that. I never said it would. I'm simply pointing out the fact that I believe that that's going to happen.
I believe it's
going to happen on a grander scale than it does today. I think it's going to affect every level of business, and it's going to go across every sector of business. It's not going to be isolated to the current economic conditions in one particular sector or another.
Correct. I believe that too. I think we believe the same things. We're coming to different conclusions. Of course, it's going to affect everybody, every business, every job, every product. I believe the effect is going to be positive. We both believe in market conditions, and the only reason that employers had to pay less was because their profit went down.
And
that makes sense. That's the market. If I'm the employer, and I don't have the money, I can't pay it. I mean, I have to make some decisions. When times are good, is it likely that employers increase wages?
That all depends. It all depends on individual companies.
Correct, which is
it
the
all depends,
benefit
it all
of the
depends
free market. But
how,
if I
how
don't,
hard they have, what you know, how easy or hard it is for them to attract qualified and quality employees.
Absolutely, the free market. Nothing will change under the fair tax. You will
That's
not,
right.
as an employer or as a producer of a product, you will not be able to randomly say, I'm not going to give them that extra money. They don't have to pay tax on it anymore. I'm just going to keep it myself. And I'm not going to lower the price of my product because your competitor will. That's what a free market does. The competitor will. And we get right back to a competitive equilibrium. If I want employees and the guy I'm competing with says, and I'll tell you what, I'm an employer. I know exactly what I will do the minute the fair tax is introduced. Because I don't have to deal with the retail. I don't have to worry about pricing or any of that. My employees will get an immediate raise. Not only will they get to keep their 7.5% of the Social Security, their half, it's 13 altogether, they're going to get my half too, because I don't have to pay it anymore. So I end up with same net profit, they get a big raise. Now, I don't have to worry about my competition. If I don't do that, the contractor right next to me at FedEx will be trying to lure my drivers away because now he has extra money to pay them. And that's just a competitive free market. That's how it works. And it won't change under the fair tax. Just a different amount of money we have to compete with, but we still have to compete.
I got you. And I'm not saying it's going to change under the fair tax. Let me, if you wouldn't mind, let me tell you the basis for why I don't like the fair tax, and maybe we can go from there.
Okay.
Would that be fair?
Yep.
Okay. You give me a couple minutes here. Let me explain this. I think, let me start by saying that I want to say thanks to everybody who gave me support on the website after the last show. I do appreciate that. And if we're not going to agree on anything else tonight, I think that we can all agree that Bubba, he's a great American. I'd like to just start out by saying that.
Okay.
Now, on a more serious note.
Yes.
I don't believe that the fair tax accomplishes anything. And let me tell you why. Is in our current system, we have a progressive tax, if that's the correct term, where the poorest among us pay little tax, and the people who can afford to pay more, that's what they do. I agree with that system. I think it's a wonderful system. I started out in life with nothing, and when I couldn't afford to pay much in tax, that 7% payroll tax that I keep hearing is just destroying poor people. I know 7% never hurt me in any way, shape, or form. Now, today, my wife and I, we both are independent business people. We make a very good living for ourselves. I don't mind paying a little bit extra for the common good. The reason I don't think that the fair tax accomplishes anything is because I keep hearing about, and you've said it many times, it takes the control out of the politicians. And in fact, I believe it's going to make it worse. Because right now, and I'll tell you, I guess let me tell you why I believe that. Each week I leave my house, and I've got a wife, I've got two wonderful kids, and I've got two dogs. My dogs, they couldn't care less what I'm doing when I'm gone, as long as there's treats in the cabinets. My kids, they couldn't care less what loads I take. They couldn't care less how fast I drive or how slow I drive. All they care is that my son has text messaging on his telephone. My wife, she don't care either. All she wants is make sure I'm back home and make sure that deposit is in the bank on Friday. And I believe the same is true with our Congress. I don't think they care any. I don't think that they could. I think that they could care less how the tax is collected. I believe that they, all they care about is that they're the ones going to spend the money. And under the fair tax, that doesn't change. They're going to continue to spend the money. They're going to continue to have the power to allocate money. Now, we've been talking a lot about tax credits. That won't go away. You know what's going to happen? Now, instead, when you go buy an APU, the government's not going to give you a tax credit. Sure, they're not going to give you one. They're going to give you a rebate, just like General Motors gives you a rebate when you purchase one of their new cars. That's all that's going to happen. And now
well,
what's going
to
happen?
We have to stop that from happening.
That's exactly right. The government is us.
We have to stop that from happening.
What I believe is, if you guys, it's the first big step
because it's transparent. See, now, the problem with our system right now, nobody can understand it.
Okay, and there goes my point. If you were the spearhead for simplification now, I'm all for you. 76,000 pages, or whatever it is.
This is the absolute best simplification of the system. Take it out of the hands of the politicians. No forms, no IRS.
You're not taking anything out of the hands because, just like I said, they're the ones that get to spend the money.
But you have to separate those two issues. This is not a spending bill. This has nothing to do with spending. Separate the two issues in your mind. Spending has to come later.
I have them separated. And just like I don't think you do. Absolutely, I do.
Right now, they are absolutely able to manipulate the collection of the tax, who pays the tax, how and why you pay the tax, and they've made it so complicated they can all stand there and argue with each other saying, we're lowering your tax. No, we're lowering your tax. No, you're raising the tax on the rich. No, we're lowering the tax on the rich. You're raising the tax on the poor. And you know what? Nobody can argue with them. You can't do it because every one of those statements I just said could be true under our system. It's too complicated. It's not transparent. They can raise taxes at will. They can lower taxes at will. And nobody knows whether they really raise taxes or whether they lower taxes. And we could have 100 people try to explain it to us, and it doesn't make sense. So the separate spending. We're not addressing spending with the fair tax. We're addressing the taxation and simplifying it. And all the other systems that have been proposed over the years don't simplify it.
We don't need a new system. This system is not broken.
Let's redo
the tax brackets in place and can you explain to me
the alternative minimum tax?
It's a complicated thing where, depending on how much money you make, you have to pay a minimum amount of taxes.
How much? No, it really doesn't have anything to do with how much you make.
What's that?
It doesn't have anything to do with how much you make.
All right.
It really has much more to do with how many tax advantages you've been able to take advantage of.
A perfect example. It's so complicated.
It's ridiculous.
Here's the problem.
Look at the history of our income tax system. Go back to 1986. Sweeping tax law changes. We are going to simplify the code, we promise. And we ended up with 10,000 more pages. And again, in 1994, we are going to simplify the code, we promise. And we get 5,000 more pages. And we've had 10,000 amendments since then. The system is broken way beyond repair.
The system is a great system. It just needs to be simplified. But we need to have an income tax.
How many times do we allow the government to say they're going to simplify it and let them complicate it even more?
Well, let me ask you this question. Do you honestly believe that this government that has 76,000 pages in its current system is going to adopt a system of only 132 pages? That 132 pages easily is going to go into tens of thousands of pages before it's done. And then everybody's going to do the exact same thing when it's over.
No, that's not what that's been very clear from the start, that that can't happen. We have to repeal the income tax.
It's been clear.
And no, I don't believe this government is going to do it. That's been my point all along, is that we can't work at the government level, but we are the government. That's what we have to remember. We can't sit back and say, this government will never change this. We are the government. We change the government then. First of all, you have to believe in the system. If you don't, then this is a moot point. But for people who will look at the system and then believe in it, the worst thing you could ever do is say, man, I get it. I see all the benefits. It really makes sense. It does simplify. It is fair, but it'll never happen. That's the worst thing anybody could ever say.
I believe in a more simplified income tax system.
I honestly believe
Our
tax system since 1913 has never been simplified, ever.
Country in the world under that system. We have the highest standard of living.
Can't you see where it's heading?
The highest standard of living of anybody in the world. So apparently something's working with it.
Look at our debt.
Or it would have collapsed already.
Look at our debt. We're not going to be the most prosperous. We're heading in the wrong direction. We have to look at history, and we have to look at the future. This isn't going to last forever. This system is going to implode on itself.
Now, you just got done saying to me, Kevin, let's not talk about spending. Debt is all spending. If you want to separate the two, you can't tell me, you can't even talk about debt. Because, again, that goes back to politicians and how they spend the money.
I know. You started talking about how prosperous we were. I was addressing that. We're not prosperous.
And that's my point.
We're not prosperous.
That's the thing, is the income tax system's not broken. And I wish you guys would realize it, that the income tax system works perfectly fine.
Why can't you explain how many things do you think I could ask you right now about the tax system that takes your money from you that you couldn't explain? I could come up with a hundred things right now. That's a sin that the government can take money from us on a system we don't understand.
I have a professional that I pay to understand it for me. $375 a year.
He doesn't understand it. That's a myth. It's a fallacy. He doesn't understand it. I promise you. I promise you, we could ask her 20 questions about the IRS tax code that she won't know easily.
I promise you this, that there you're making my point. Let's just simplify this current system.
But how many times, from 1913 till today, it's never been simplified. How many more generations will we allow to say, well, let's just simplify the one we have? It's never happened, ever. From the day it was instituted, it's been more complicated every day since then. How long do you go on? I mean, if you continue doing the same thing you've always done, you will continue getting the same results. It's backwards. It has never been simplified, ever. And it's not going to be simplified now. It can't be. It needs to be scrapped. It is broken.
Well, I don't understand how, with the most prosperous country in the world, you can say
We're not anymore.
Who is?
There are many countries that are in far better shape than we are.
As far as?
And I'll tell you some of them that have made... Well, it depends on how we argue the numbers. Do they earn more, make more? Is there... You know, gross domestic product more, or are they making more gains?
Quality of living.
take a look at what Ireland's done with a not a fair tax, but something very, very close to it, and what they've done in Europe as far as how they've advanced past other countries.
Do they have a
We're not the most prosperous anymore.
We have a high standard of living.
I know, like, I'm not allowed to talk about spending and debt, but if you keep saying we're prosperous, I've got to bring up the debt because we're really not.
Want to talk about the spending? I'd love to talk about the spending.
Yeah, I would too, but that's a different. We can't allow that to complicate this. They are two totally separate issues. This has nothing to do with spending when we're talking about the fair tax. And I'm going to bring Hugh on because I know he's got something to say, and I'm going to step back for a little bit. Hugh, welcome to the program.
Thanks, Kevin. Hey, Joe.
How are you doing tonight, Hugh?
I'm doing great. You frustrate me so much, but then that's just because we come from two completely different directions on this. By the way, Bubba is a great American. Kevin, I think you're doing an awesome job tonight. Every time I press one because I want to jump in, you say what it was I wanted to say. But, Joe, what is it that – and I'm going to lead you around here a little bit. I hope you'll let me do it. What is it that you love about America?
What I love about America.
Yeah, and what defines America for you?
Opportunity. Defines America. Okay. The option of either succeeding or failing all on your own is what defines it for me.
I think that is a wonderful answer. I honestly had no idea what answer I was looking for, but that's a great one. I love that. And you realize that right now you cannot go
for
into
me.
This business. You cannot go into any kind of business, any kind of entrepreneurial undertaking, without first clearing it with a bunch of different agencies, and especially with a CPA to have to guide you through all the different things that are taxed and all. See, the opportunity is not there anymore, and the income tax is a big part of the reason why the opportunity is not there. There are others, too. It's other, you know, the government overstepping on regulation and all that, but yeah, I love that you think that America is defined as opportunity. That's a great answer, and I think that the tax system as it's structured right now just really destroys opportunity. For one thing,
let me ask you this: would you allow me about 3 minutes to tell you my personal story?
Sure.
Okay. I met this girl when I was 17 years old, and I was a senior in high school, and this girl was a sophomore in high school. And we met, we worked together at a pizza place. Now, fast forward to my freshman year of college. I came home to the dorm room one day, and the answering machine said, "You need to come home." Okay? So I call my girlfriend at the time, and lo and behold, I got her pregnant. I'm 19 years old. I'm a freshman in high school, and this is 1997. This girl is a junior in high school. So I transferred out of that college and went to a closer college back home. I worked third shift at a hotel and went to school during the day while this girl went to school, went to high school. She got teased every single day. She got teased from her peers about being pregnant in a junior in high school. Now, I ended up dropping out of college because I needed to do what I thought was the right thing, and I needed to provide a larger income to support this girl. Fast forward till today, that girl is my wife. I'm 32 years old. She's 30 years old. We never took a government handout back then in the late 90s. We have another child together. We've owned two homes in our lives together so far, and we're both sole business owners. If that isn't the land of opportunity, I don't know what is. And that right there, that's 100% true story.
I don't doubt it a bit.
When I was down on my luck, the government said to me, hey, you don't have to pay any income taxes right now. We'll get you on the flip side. And so now, between my wife and we do very well. For where we live at, we're in the top 1% income earners. And we don't mind giving back a little bit. We donate to certain places. We're boosters at our local high school. We do everything that we can. And, hey, I send in the government their check 4 times a year, and then in April I send in the 5th check.
Do either one of you two have employees?
My wife did for a short time on a limited basis.
It's a great story. I'm not sure how the fair tax changes any of it, other than making it more attainable for more people, because it takes down even more barriers and would still allow you during that time when you don't have the money to not pay any tax. None of that really changes. The fair tax only makes that more attainable, not less, and it would allow you to expand those businesses much easier. The number one barrier to expanding businesses today is hiring employees. It's too costly. It's too expensive. It's too complicated. And people and businesses don't expand for that reason. Now, some do, but many are held back from that. And our industry is a prime example. The people who want to expand end up cheating the current system and calling their drivers independent contractors, which is wrong. But that would go away. We wouldn't have to worry about that anymore. There would be no employee, no independent contractor. You want to work for me, here's how much I'm going to pay you, here's your check, we're done. No government in between us.
Speaking of that, and that's something that I've been thinking about here, if the companies are all going to lower their price based on the embedded 22% that's going down, does that mean that I'm going to have to lower my hauling rate by 22%?
I don't know.
Because
it's up to you. Lower you
what? What if FedEx goes to you and says, we want to take a 22% cut, and are you going to be happy with 22% less on your current FedEx contract?
If we follow the logic, if they do that, then it all gets made up throughout the system. So, yes, if they do that, the numbers still work out. We also have to remember that that is not a retail transaction between FedEx and myself. Neither is your hauling rate. That's not a retail transaction. There's no fair tax affecting that.
But the fair tax will affect everything down the line, from parts to the parts price to diesel fuel to everything.
What is my cost now of paying all of my income taxes, my Social Security taxes, my Medicare taxes, my employees' Social Security taxes, my employees' Medicare taxes, my payroll taxes, my filing fees, my accounting fees, my banking fees, in order to make all that happen, that goes away. So, yes, I could
banking
accept
fees
less.
Won't go away.
And
your bank's still going to charge you money, won't they? And it'll probably
but
charge
not,
you at 20% higher.
Not for all the transactions I have to send in my payroll taxes.
All right.
There won't be any more payroll taxes to electronically send anymore. So
not all my
banking fees go away, but all of those compliance fees go away. The taxes themselves go away. So, yes, I could afford to gross less and still net the same. And that's all that matters to me is what I net. I don't care what I gross, because I'd much rather gross less and not have to screw with all that payroll stuff. It is a constant. I have to do payroll every week, and I have to transmit taxes every week. And I have a cost of doing that, and I have time involved in doing that. And that all goes away. And see, I was, this is about to change because FedEx is changing the rules on people, I was at a competitive disadvantage because I followed the rules. I treat my drivers as employees, and I always have. The contractor right next to me tries to lure my driver away saying, I'll pay you more. But the driver doesn't understand. His taxes aren't being taken out. He's being treated as an independent contractor. He doesn't have any of the benefits. He can't collect unemployment if something goes wrong. He can't collect workers' compensation or Social Security. But see, that's what our system does. That all goes away.
Kevin, am I still on?
Yes.
I think I'm beginning to see something here, and Joe, correct me if I'm wrong. Kevin, you and I would just really like to go about our day and go about our lives without ever having to have any kind of relationship with the federal government, especially not a day-to-day, ongoing, constantly having to report to, answer to, be concerned with how the federal government is going to respond to whatever I'm doing in my day-to-day life and in my day-to-day business. Joe, you seem to have become quite comfortable with having this ongoing relationship with the federal government.
And I don't see where it is so intrusive.
I have to deal with them every Wednesday. Every single week I have to deal with them. I have to transmit money to them every week.
And do you call that? Do you have to go down to the local IRS office, or do you make a phone call, or how do you do that?
I do it all electronically because I've set it up to do it that way to keep it as least intrusive as possible.
I pay my bills online. I don't find that intrusive.
That's voluntary.
Exactly. This is not
the point I'm trying
to make. Purchase something. You chose to purchase something, and now you're paying for it. That's great. Taxes is not the same thing.
But I don't see where it's all intrusive. I don't spend my day-to-day time thinking about the government or what decision I make right now, how that's going
to have. You told me you have to have a professional in between you and the government to protect you.
No, I don't have – not to protect me. But to actually just file my taxes. Absolutely. I'm glad to do it. If for $375 per year, I don't see where the big deal is on that. I'm sorry, but I call this gal and I might do a mock tax return. In fact, we're just getting ready to do our numbers for the first 10 months of this year, send them in to her, and then she'll give us an estimate of what the actual taxes should be for the year. I do that in last year I did in September. This year I got lazy, so I'm not going to do it till I'm going to do it for 10 months instead of 9 months, and then I go and see her sometime in March.
I made my living with people like you.
I understand that. And that's why I don't follow where it is that people talk about every decision, every day. It's too intrusive. I just don't. I don't.
The bills
that
you the bills that you pay online. If they called you tomorrow and said, "We think you made a mistake on the bill," how hard would it be for you to figure out if you made a mistake or not and correct it? Pretty simple transaction. I can't imagine you have that many bills that would be complicated that we couldn't figure them out. If the IRS comes and audits you tomorrow, I promise you nobody will figure it out. We'll never get it right. I've dealt with audits. It's never right. It's just a matter of compromise of what we can argue and what we can get away with. What a stupid system that nobody knows the right answer.
Again,
we have to,
let's simplify
we have to pay
it.
Professionals. But see, Joe, it never gets simplified. 1913 is when it started. It's gotten more complicated every year since. How many times do you beat your head against the wall before you say, I'm tired of having a headache?
So we can't simplify it, but somehow we're going to be able to overhaul the entire system, a system that we can't even simplify. If we can't simplify what we got, there's no way they're going to throw it out and overhaul it with something.
Who's they? Who's they? We've laid out the plan on how to do it. That's
Congress.
I mean, it's there. It's not a pipe dream. It's not a maybe we could do this. The plan's been done. 20-some million dollars spent to lay it out and make it work and make it right. So now when you say they won't do it, who's they?
Congress. The United States Senate. The President of the United States.
So if you could, if you believed that it could be changed, would you want it to be?
No. Because I assume that prices will rise. We go back to that assumption from the first show. I believe that prices will rise, and I believe that everything will cost more. And just like I stated in the earlier show, that 43% of American households are spending more money than they earn. I believe that that will devastate those, not to mention the job loss from the attorneys, the tax accountants. You know, and it goes deeper, it gets routed deeper than that. All the people in the printing presses that are printing up your IRS forms, how many people are you going to put out of work?
Hey, you know what, then? I understand where you're coming from now, then. Let's pass another big stimulus bill and just hire people to stand around on the side of the road with a shovel. They'll have a job. I mean, let's just give them a bunch of government money and put them to work.
You've got me completely wrong. Like I just said a few minutes ago, I've never taken a government handout. In fact,
I'm not talking about you. You're afraid that we're going to put somebody out of business. You don't think our current system puts people out of business?
No, I don't.
You don't think I think there's a lot of this you don't understand. I think you don't see what will happen to companies flooding back in to take advantage of the most profitable, least intrusive tax system in the world. If we could pass this, companies will flock here to take advantage of it.
I don't, again, this goes all on assumptions.
No, it doesn't. They've interviewed CEOs of Fortune 500 companies in other countries, would say the next day they have said, we will either move more of our production to within the U.S. or we will move our entire production to the U.S.
And
has been done.
You just got done telling me Congress has said for years they're going to simplify the tax code. It doesn't get done. Point being is there's a big difference between saying something and actually doing it.
Yeah, see, here's the difference. I don't believe politicians. I do believe people in business.
Then why, let me just ask you this question, okay? Why aren't the people in the United States business, why aren't they spearheading this effort? They are.
Ooh, I'll show you a letter signed by 80 independent economists that are spearheading this.
What I'm asking you is, how come the president of Walmart and the president of ExxonMobil, there, I would assume the presidents and CEOs of those two companies, I will assume that their opinion holds a little weight with Congress and the president. How come they're not trying to spearhead this if it's going to be such a glorious time in the United States once this, and there's going to be so much profit for everyone, why aren't current large corporations in this United States, why aren't they asking for this?
You want an answer? You want an answer? They're big enough. You just said it. They're number one. You're talking about the people number one in their market. Why screw with the good thing?
Okay.
Why
isn't Target doing it then? They're number two behind Walmart.
If these big corporations you're talking about were to openly, publicly put money behind and promote the fair tax, that would kill it immediately. Because people in this country have been conditioned to hate corporations. If the corporations are for it, then it must be bad for me.
People don't hate corporations.
Oh, come on. ExxonMobil was demonized for making the largest profit ever in the history of the world.
They still buy their gas. Just like Walmart's demonized for shutting down Main Street America, and yet everybody still shops there. Why is that? Because people love to talk. They like to talk trash, but they won't put their money where their mouth is. And that's the absolute fact.
I just think we're way off on a tangent there. I really just don't see what that has to do with the facts of the fair tax.
The facts of the fair tax, Kevin, are very simple. It can't be any simpler than this, and we've gone round and round and round on this. You're making a lot of assumptions on what's going to happen. It's never been tried.
They're not my assumptions, and it has been.
Right now, so you're the one
tons.
Telling the assumptions. You're the one speaking the assumptions, and I'm talking to you. I'm not talking to an economist. Because
maybe
you're making all these assumptions.
At least read the report. I did.
I've been on fairtax.org. Before it became a hot topic on your website, I was familiar with the fair tax long before it became a hot topic. I used to listen to Neil Bortz before I got XM radio. I listened to Bruce Williams, and that topic's been brought up many times. I think you guys think that I'm a Johnny come lately to this party. And
I never said that.
Think about you,
Joe. I've heard about for quite a while. I mean, I've been associated with this or have gotten information on this for quite a while. I just don't see where it helps the country, because I believe businesses will keep the profit margin from the difference in lowering the income tax. And
but
I
you told me you believed in a competitive free market, but you really don't.
No,
you can't make those two statements. They contradict each other. A company can't keep the profit if its competitors won't. If its competitors are going to raise wages, it has to raise wages. You can't believe in both of those statements.
Sure I can, because here's the thing. If Walmart decides they're not going to lower their prices and Target decides they're not going to lower their prices, that's still free market. That means they're both collecting a larger profit.
How did Walmart ever unseat Sears or Kmart?
Walmart unseated them by being the lowest price.
So who's the next one that's going to come and beat Walmart and Target when they both decide, now we're not going to do this. We don't believe in the competitive thing anymore. We'll just keep our price the way it is. You don't think there's somebody behind them that will be the one to do it? Nobody believes Sam Walton in his pickup truck with one store could unseat Sears and Kmart. But he certainly did it. That's the beauty of the free market. You can't stop the free market. Walmart and Target can't, even if they were legally allowed to get together and say, hey, when this fair tax thing comes by, we're not going to pay our employees anymore. We're not going to lower our price. Even if they got together and did it, there's still somebody else. That's competition. See, that's what you don't really believe in, because you couldn't make that statement if you did believe in it.
And that's where opportunity comes in as well. See, when the existing businesses quit competing, that's opportunity. That's America. That's when somebody else can come in and say, well, I can beat their prices. And then they all have to lower their prices again.
And nobody is ever too big to be immune from that, ever.
Do you know
Well, yeah, I will agree with that, that nobody's too big to be immune from that. But again, I just don't see it. I see the prices going up. I don't see the entire amount being passed on to consumers. You seem to believe that there's going to be these companies come along and going to undercut everybody. Maybe that happens. Maybe it doesn't. We're on completely opposite sides of the fence. It has nothing to do with understanding how market forces work. It has nothing to do with understanding how the fair tax is structured. I understand all of that. I just don't believe that. It goes back to the last discussion. I don't believe a $100 item today is going to be $100 tomorrow.
Talked about tonight about market forces and behavior and all that really doesn't change from one system to the other. They are what they are. Human behavior is human behavior. What changes is the method by which it's collected, the overwhelming simplicity of the fair tax as opposed to the graduated income tax. Do you know where the graduated income tax came from? It's one of many elements of the Communist Manifesto.
Yes, it absolutely is.
And that alone makes me uncomfortable with it.
Hey, you know what? Real quick, I know we're running out of time, but we have a couple people that have been patient. They want to make some comments. And I'm going to leave everybody's mic open, but Travis in Wisconsin, you're up.
Yes. Hi, Kevin. Hi, Bruce. Bruce. Sorry, Joel and the other guy.
You.
Sorry about that. The question I have is you, all three of you make good statements, but the question I have is if we want to enact this fair tax, how would we get the United States government to come together to do it? Because now they had their vote Tuesday, and it's all back different again, more Democrats or less Democrats, whatever. How are you going to get all them together? That's one thing I have. You can't really get them to all be happy.
The people who really believe in the fair tax and have for years and have put millions of dollars and lots of time and effort into it have said, we can't change today's Congress. We can't go to Congress that's currently there and try to convince them to enact the fair tax. There's some effort in that sense. What they said, the best way to get this done is from the bottom up, not from the top down. Meaning, if you study it and you believe in it and you want it to happen, you need to convince as many other people as you can. That's what I do every day, because I believe that is the only way we will ever get this done. And will it be easy? Absolutely not. It may not even happen in my lifetime, but it doesn't mean we have to stop trying. I mean, nothing about this country was easy. Nothing easy is ever worth doing. So the one comment that makes me absolutely crazy is when somebody finally sees all the details, hears all the facts, and says, okay, I get it. Of course it's more simple. Of course we eliminate $300 billion in compliance costs. Of course we bring back $13 trillion of money sitting offshore that won't come into our economy because it'll be taxed. Of course I get all those things. It's a wonderful system, but it'll never happen, so why bother? That's the absolute, that person makes me more crazy than somebody who maybe doesn't believe in it for whatever reason. If you believe in it, you have to get behind it.
Right, and nothing against you, Joe. You got good comments. I am for the fair tax all the way. The thing I'm understanding from Joe is that he says, well, we're always going on assumptions. Well, he is right. We are going on assumptions. I'll give him that, because it hasn't ever been tried. But if you're going to sit back and always assume something, you're just going to be a Johnny-come-lately, and if it happens, it happens. well, then never, never complain about life. That's how I look at it. But if you want to be on the cutting edge, you got to get your head out of your ass and get moving and do something about it.
And I'm not all for running off willy-nilly and saying our system sucks, let's just throw it away and do something else. I wouldn't do that. I've looked
right.
at all the other things that have been proposed. Nothing,
yep.
nothing. We're willing to take a chance on universal health care or health care reform, and we didn't even get to see the 2,000 pages that it was being voted on. We were willing to assume it will be okay. 2,000 pages of health care reform, we're okay with that. But we're not okay with something that people have spent $20 million+ and over a decade researching. This wasn't just thrown together. Real quick, Jeff in Texas, do you have a comment?
Yes, I want to say if you've ever taken an exemption or a child care credit, you've taken a government handout, and to simplify the system we have now, let's just quit filing. We can continue paying in as we do, but let's quit filing so we have no idea if we're paying enough or if we're not paying enough.
Well, you're right.
Comment.
We've all taken government handouts. We've all been part of the redistribution of wealth.
Right. This is a system of manipulation. They use taxes to manipulate our behavior as a society.
And to
reward under the tax.
Well, sure it does. They can't use the income tax code. There is no income tax code to reward anybody with.
Well, just like I said earlier, they're not going to give you a tax credit. They're going to give you a rebate to do something. For instance, APU. You go out and buy an APU tomorrow under the fair tax because they want you to buy an APU, or the EPA wants a reduction in gases.
We have to say no to that. That's our responsibility. That would be our responsibility to say no to that. We're not going to let you pass that. The problem with the 67,000 pages of manipulation is it already exists. We're trying to get rid of it. We're trying to say no more of this. And once we get rid of that, then we say, no, you're not going to give rebates. It doesn't mean that we pass a fair tax and we all get to go to sleep and forget about the government. Nobody's saying that. I'm certainly not. We'll have to be just as vigilant to make sure our politicians stick to what they're there for. But let's get rid of the 67,000 pages of manipulation that already exists. Anybody?
You know my opinion. I'm ready to start the group simplification now. You guys do the fair tax now, I'll do simplification now.
Are you serious? Are you serious, Joe? Are you going to put the time and effort and money it takes to get it done?
Absolutely. I'll start right on your website.
Okay. I'll look forward to it.
Right now.
I'll even commit to moving one discussion a week up to the top for you.
That'd be wonderful.
All right. Get on it.
How do I start a new group? Add a group right there.
There you go. Add a group.
This is progress in motion right now.
That's right. All right. We are all out of time, and I want to thank everybody. And if you were on hold and we didn't get to your question, we'll do it again. We'll be back here tomorrow night. So thanks, everybody, and we've got to get out of here. I'll see you in 30 minutes on the live show. Remember, be safe, be profitable, be responsible. Pass the fair tax and master the journey. Good night, everyone. I'm Kevin Rutherford.